So then we have Kristen here and let Karen. You want to sit down here? Sorry, Ethan, you have to sit next to me.
All right, folks, it's 10 o'clock, so let's go ahead and get started. Good morning. Welcome. Appreciate everybody coming out. Well, we got quiet quick. That's good. Couple of announcements I want to do after connection before content this morning before we get into the other agenda. And we do have a couple of things that we've added to the agenda that you'll see when we get to that point. But for connection before content, I was at a leadership, a Loudon leadership or Lead Loudon thing the other day, and Mr. Hemstreet was talking about how, you know, as leaders within the organization, we oftentimes need to remember that for the people that we're leading, and even for us, that the reality of being here is that it's a job. We sometimes look at it as more than that, but it's a job. And people have lives outside of here. At least some of us do. And we need to remember that when we're trying to deal with people. And so the other day when I saw this come across that I want to read to you on LinkedIn, it really tied into that. It was a post by the coach of the North Alabama college football team. So let me read this, and then we're going to pop something up on the screen when I'm done reading. It said, I coached for 7 years, 5 in the pros and 2 in college. In the NFL, there's a legion of people who handle most challenges that arise between a player and the outside world. In college, not so much. The position coach is the first line of assistance. You are responsible for the guys in your room in a way that's different from the NFL league. Whether Darren is going to class or has a girlfriend back home or is drinking too much on the weekends, these are the questions a position coach needs to be able to answer and to address. Brent Dearman is the head football coach at North Alabama, and he knows America is giddy for the season to start, but he wrote, this ain't no rah-rah post. No, he shares what most people never see. Most of this stuff won't scroll across the ESPN ticker. Behind every teammate, employee, or colleague lies a story that you don't know. Family illness, family economic hardships, relationship issues, grief. As a leader, you have to remember one thing. Your people are dealing with real issues. What they present to you in the office or in that neat rectangle on Zoom is not who they are and what they are going through. And yet we still expect them to make the play. We're quick to demand performance, but often overlook the human challenges that people carry with them every day. But as leaders, we have a responsibility that goes beyond outcomes. We're called to love, to serve, and to care. And I'm going to say that again. We're called to love, to serve, and to care for the people on our team. Because when people feel supported as humans first, performance follows naturally. Put that up. So this was Coach's post. I'm going to give you a second just to read that. And as you read that, remember that what we do here, all of us in the room here, really are coaches. Whether you're a head coach and you've got a big team, or you're a position coach and you're just dealing with a small program area, you need to think about that and know that your people, although they may put a face up, are probably dealing with some stuff. And when we're asking them to make the play, we need to keep that in mind. Just something to think about. All right. Announcements. Real quick. We have finalized the budget submissions for this year. Janet is finalizing those for us and getting them ready to submit. I wanted to just let you know that we packaged a bunch of things together so that we're within the requirements of what came from the budget office this year, but stabilization is still a big thing that they're talking about, with revenues stabilizing over the next couple of years. So you will see when those things come out that there is a big focus on internal support, trying to build the foundation that's going to need to keep this machine running into the next decade. So I just wanted you to be aware of that. But the other thing that you all need to be aware of, and we've talked about this in the past, but they were really highlighting this year when we were talking, is that we are going to be asked time and time again moving forward to look at our internal budget for funding requests before we add new requests. And one of the reasons is because we're large. We're a very large department, and when you have a budget that this year is, Janet, $93 million, we don't spend that every year. And they are asking us moving forward to look at ways that we can do things differently with that. What that means is all of these years where we have been asking you to do your monthly reconciliation reports and monitor your budgets, I guess I can't walk away from this now. That's hard for me not to walk and talk. But then I look like I'm performing. So we need to make sure that on a monthly basis you are keeping within your budget or working with your liaison, working with Janet to make sure that things are tight in your budget, okay? Because there is going to be a time when we're going to have to come and look at that. All right, so I just wanted to bring that up because that is what we are being told is going to be the future. So be careful with what you're doing. Don't overspend without going and making the proper adjustments. And those monthly reconciliation reports are very, very crucial. That's a responsibility that you all have, and you need to make sure that that's happening. On a good note, several of us were down in Orlando last week for the NRPA conference. Many of us were there because we were a gold medal finalist. Now, we didn't win. That's okay. We're going to get them next time. But I wanted to, one, Jeremy, Craig, where's Crystal? Is Crystal here? Thank them particularly because they worked so hard on the nomination that was sent in. But I also wanted to thank you all because I had several conversations with people when I was down at NRPA, and I know some of the other folks that were there as well. And oftentimes I would be asked, what does it take to become a finalist? And my answer always started with good people. It starts with you all. And we've got good policies, we've got good procedures, we've got all that stuff that they're looking at, but that all starts with you all. And to be at that level and recognized at that level says a lot about you all as leaders and about what we do as an organization. So I encourage you to continue doing what you're doing because it is making a difference. I also continue to encourage you to recognize and send in the things that you are doing good because we do need to recognize that. And so I encourage you to send those things in for catching excellence, the stuff that you're seeing your folks doing, so that we can publicly recognize that, because it's important that we do that as well. Speaking of, I got this email not long ago, and I'm going to read this to you. Happy fall. It's always good when I get an email. I usually don't get many emails that start with happy something, so it's good to see an email that said happy fall. While many may associate fall with harvest festivals and pumpkin spice, the Lodge team down at Hampson sees it as a season rich in opportunities for reflection, introspection, and adjustments. After the busy Lodge spring-summer event schedule and the high energy of the summer, the fall serves as a momentary pause button to reflect on the numerous individuals that support our team. I would like to share and recognize an important PRCS employee that works directly with the Lodge's accounting processes. You're probably wondering why the Lodge staff is recognizing this employee in catching excellence. You may not know this, but this employee processes all of the Lodge's security deposit refunds, which is a minimum of 15 a month, supports the Lodge in numerous impromptu trainings and billing concerns with RecTrack. They complete the security deposit refunds in a timely manner, correct our RecTrack errors, provide support and assurance, and answer the numerous questions that we always have. Their attitude of performing this important task assists the Lodge team in delivering value to our customers. In essence, their timely response in processing the security deposit refund for the Lodge's renters is creating value and positive impacts in the community and the customer service experience at the Lodge. Her internal gauge to assist, teach, support, and perform is valuable to the Lodge and is on the path to catching excellence. And even though these tasks may seem small to most, these actions impact the Lodge greatly and contribute to the completion of the final task of assisting the Lodge team with providing exceptional customer service. So I would like to invite Jay Cherie to come up for the Catching Excellence Award. Where's Jay Cherie? Is Jay Cherie not here? She was supposed to be here. I thought I saw her. Jay Sherry, are you online? All right, just talk amongst yourselves for a second. We're going to have Jay Sherry here in just a second. Yeah, she's processing a refund. That's right. That's good.
Pretend it never happens. Start over. Be casual.
I know. Man, I read that and she wasn't even here. That was a long email, too. So, Michael, are they coming? Can you see if they're coming? Yeah, I know. That was, it's kind of anticlimactic. Got to the end and was like,
you're gonna
do that too? All right. Emma, is Emma here? Emma's next. All right, I'm gonna check, make sure everybody on the agenda is
Yay!
Were you online?
Were you listening?
No.
Okay.
You were nominated for the Catching Excellence Award for all of your support that you give to the Lodge and the many, many transactions and trainings and impromptu customer service things that you do to make their job easier and provide exceptional service to the community. So I read a whole thing and then looked around. But so congratulations, and this is for you.
Thank you.
Good job, Jay Shereen. All right, Emma, you are up. Emma's going to come up and talk a little bit about wrap up on Catching Excellence.
Yes.
Hello. Thank you, Noah. I get to wrap up the strategic plan on operationalizing the values. And I was a part of a wonderful team of people who came up and presented and shared all about the different values that we see in the department. And now we get to go over the results after we did this whole operationalization. Yep. The next thing after this will be a spelling test for that. All right. Jay, will you go to the next page? Noah, thanks. Oh, it's fancy. All right. So we're wrapping up strategic plan 3.3B, operationalize values and assess employees' knowledge of the values. So we assembled the team. We put together a baseline survey, which everyone took in February, about 6 months ago. Then we looked at each month, we introduced a different value to the managers' meetings with the idea that you would go back and share with your staff about what that could look like daily. And then we evaluated again. And so now I get to step number 5, share the results and wrap it all up. We go to the next one. So thanks again for completing the survey. It was out just 1 week and I had 130 responses compared to 104 the first time. So that just means that people are listening and paying attention to their emails and participating more. We saw that collaboration is still the number one value that PRCS staff see in the department. And that's really neat to be able to see that consistency. And this time, instead of just integrity, we now have excellence and integrity tied for the next most seen. Again, there's 5 values. We had the majority of people know that there are 5 values. So congratulations, you did that. Next slide, please. The operationalization, turning abstract concepts into measurable observations. So 59% shared how they've seen values across PRCS in the most recent survey. The first survey, we only had 49% of people share. They answered the first questions, but the last question, where do you see this represented? What do you see happening? We had 59% of the people share their answers. And so instead of me sharing what it is, we're going to have different staff read out six examples of what people put into the survey. Who's got number one? You know who you are. It's not a surprise. Rick.
I've seen these PRCS values from some employees. Thinking through this, I really wish I'd see more of it. Same groups collaborate, and it'd be great to see them branch out to others, bigger and better together.
Two.
Kids Fest is a good example of all values being displayed in our staff. There was collaboration across divisions to ensure the success of the event. A creativity and innovation in the event planning overall to have something for everyone at the event. The staff provided a high level of service to Loudoun County and its citizens throughout the event.
Three.
My coworkers work well together. We respect each other's contributions and opinions. We all bring honesty and integrity each day. When programs don't run smoothly or run at all, we use it as a learning tool to see where we can improve instead of giving up.
Four.
Over many years here with PRCS, I see all these values displayed day in and day out at Dulles South with the preschool staff, the program staff, and instructors, fitness staff, and custodial.
Five.
Excellence. Always looking for ways to improve the customer experience and provide the best service possible. We do everything with a next level mentality to be the best in what we do and try to instill that in the culture of our team.
Six.
During challenging times, when we were very short staffed, we found the way to serve our community with excellence.
Each of these are true representations of what these values look like. We have room to grow. We want to see, we've seen collaboration, but one of them said we want to see more people collaborate in different ways. We see different events like Kids Fest propped up there. We see different rec centers. And again, there were 79 responses. So this is just a snapshot of what that looked like. I don't want anyone to feel like you did not receive great evaluations. But I want you to know that this is our opportunity to move forward. This is our opportunity to continue to grow, to take what we've heard, to take what we've learned, and continue to share that with one another. And so now, Noah, will you move to the next one? Now we have the opportunity to move this forward with values pins. So up on the right-hand side of the screen is a big blue circle, and in it is a representation of what our values pins look like. And so we have catching excellence, we have catching innovation, catching integrity, catching resilience, catching collaboration, and catching excellence. I decided to read all five of them. You're welcome, in case you didn't. But we created, as a team, we created a pin so that we can, in our daily walks, in our daily work, celebrate where we see these values. We have the wonderful Catching Excellence and Beyond program here, but we also want to use those times where we see it personally, where we can step into a situation and say, PRCS values you. This pin is a recognition of how you exemplify the value blank because of your hard work blank. You don't have to use those words, but this is the opportunity to start to show where we shine, where we come together in new and different ways, where we exemplify the values. So we have a bunch. We have 750 pins up here, and I would love for you and the team would love for you to take some pins back to your site and give these out when you see it, when you see a value really being exemplified. That's all. Thank you.
Who's up next?
Thank you, Emma, and thank you for the team that's been working on all of that. We say this oftentimes, but we don't recognize the good things that we do because that's just who we are. We're just on to the next thing right afterwards. But this is a way that you can have that personal interaction and really with somebody that you work with say thank you for what you're doing and thank you for going above and beyond in the day-to-day work. All right, I do know we have some new folks with us this morning. I want to ask if we have somebody who is brand new with us or has never been to this meeting. Raise your hand and I'll give you the mic so that you can give a 2 or 3 minute bio. I'm kidding.
So I was born in Buffalo. Hi, everyone. Should I stand up? Hi, I'm Mary Sellers. I am the new arts program manager. also respond to Hey Arts Lady. So I'm excited to help implement the Arts Comprehensive Plan. I'm really glad to be here. I also was told that I should sing, which I don't think you really want. So I'm going to like avoid that. But really good to meet you. Please don't be a stranger. If you have arts ideas, I'm really open to hearing what you want to see, how you want to see it, really engage with each of your sites. So thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Who else we have? I know we've got.
This is awkward. So, hi, I'm Ken Lowe. I'm the new specialist with CASA, and I really don't have too much to say, but I'm excited to get started with all you guys. Everyone has been so friendly and welcoming so far, and I truly appreciate it. And yeah, I'm looking forward to working with you guys for years to come. Thank you.
Good job, Ken. We got anybody else this morning? No? All right. Good deal. Well, welcome. Where's Liz? Before I announce what's next, I'm going to make sure everybody's in a room this time. So, all right, so Liz is going to come up and talk to us a little bit about certifications. So, Liz, you have the floor.
Good morning. Okay, so if you can advance to the next slide, please. So certifications and memberships, you all have received an email from Lynn Delaney. She sent out a reminder as well. It was a survey tool that we've put together because in the department we didn't have one single repository for where we're tracking everyone's memberships, and these are active memberships as in you're participating, doing something specifically within an organization, not just, yes, I'm a member of VRPS. The other part of that is what certifications do you hold that are current? So if you don't mind, please remind staff, it was sent out to the majority of or all of Reg staff to please complete that because it's our only way that we can build this repository. And also it's important for us to be able to know all the great things our employees are doing as well in terms of keeping up with their own professional development. Even if they don't have, and that's the key thing. I think a lot of people thought, oh, well, I don't have any of those things, so I just don't need to complete it. It does help us because then we know you did something with it instead of us guessing. Like, well, we only have right now, we have less than 300 responses, and we know we have closer to 700 plus employees. So that tells us maybe that was part of the disconnect. So if you can just take a moment to remind your staff, please just go online, fill out that survey. You can pull it up by searching from Lynn Delaney's email and your emails, her last name. All right, thank you. So the next slide is just some hiring reminders. I don't like this in my face, I am gonna perform. hiring reminders, make sure that if you have an applicant, you have to move them to the pre-board status. That's really important for us because it actually triggers a couple of things. So PRCS HR, we schedule the I-9 appointment. They won't do that until they see that someone's been moved into the pre-board status in NeoGov. DHR, so big HR, county HR, they're continuing to send notifications to Chitra and her team that those things, oops, aren't being done. That's okay, Nick. Thank you. Thank you. So the next thing on here, the bullet, is applications. We're still seeing applications come through, even though it's blasted all over, you know, the top of the application, it's on the supplemental questionnaire. We know you guys don't have control over what applicants are submitting, whether they're internal or external. But if you go through and you're at the interview stage with someone and you note that they have holes, like they put C resume on the application, that's still an opportunity for you to talk to them and ask them about what your experience actually was and have them, you know, update that either in a document and send that to you. Because when we get to a point where we're going through creating a salary worksheet, our staff don't know if you put, you know, I work for CASA. Well, our staff's not going to be able to tie that to what the min quals are and what the preferred quals are. So that's why it's also very important. So you can still have that conversation at that stage with your applicants instead of on the back end. What it causes for us is if we have to reach out, it just delays. And then what happens? We have to potentially bump your start date. And we all know we don't like that. So we're just really trying to help tighten that up a little bit and where you guys can probably help get more involved is if you can keep an eye out for that with your applications of those that you choose to move forward in an interview. Interviews, that was basically the same thing. So continue to update the status of your applicants until the hiring process is completed. So I could go in at any given point and see anybody's requisition, and I know I'm picking on Jessica Knowles. Jessica has a big wheel, you know, in your dashboard. So if I go in and look for somebody in that process and they all say referred, I know that's probably not accurate. So if as much as you can stay on top of it, we know we have a lot of big recruitments where either they're open and continuous and you have 300 plus applications, and we may have 5, 6, 7 different hiring managers in their facility attendant as an example. Just make sure that you're trying to stay on top of not only moving people, like, hey, we've rejected this person, but also on your notes, because again, at any given time, if I'm getting calls or questions, that's a resource for me to be able to go in, and I don't have to track you down and say, hey, I know you had interviews last week, but I don't see any notes, and this person's asking me a question and I can't answer it. So it's just all about helping all of us be more efficient and consistent. So if you can help us do that, we'd greatly appreciate it. Okay, next slide. PRCS NeoGov training. So we had done some hiring manager training a while back, Chitra's team had. We have updated all of the training for internal hiring managers via a very lengthy PowerPoint, but it's a very important PowerPoint. There are two steps for you all and any of your individuals that work at your sites that need access to NeoGov to get into NeoGov and do the hiring process. The first step is going through the training with County HR to get access to NeoGov and have that that flip switch basically to say, yes, you can go in and technically hire people in NeoGov. But the second part is an internal requirement, and that is that you take our training. And our training is very specific and in the weeds, you know, because we are such a large department, we do so much hiring at any given time. We do require that the staff that are going to need access to hire do go through this training. So Chitra and her team, they did their first training this past Monday. They're going to do another one in October, and then going forward, we'll have it monthly. So you need to have, either you need to attend and or your staff that will be doing hiring out of NeoGov need to attend. Chitra, was it you that sent out the calendar invite? So Chitra sent out the first two calendar invites. Please either accept or decline. She's going to keep sending them to the people who we don't know if you've taken it or not. We do have a list where we track. You've taken this. You're going to keep getting those invites until either you've completed it and or at the very end of that training, there's a survey. And that, again, is the way we're taking attendance. So the very first one, we put a QR code up. We'll keep doing that. Just please complete the survey, and then we can cross you off our list. There's nothing that prevents you from coming over and over and over again if you really feel like there's stuff you're not getting. You can also reach out to one of the HR technicians for specific one-off questions. And then last but not least, we want to make sure that we give all of our staff the tools and resources that they need to be effective and efficient in the hiring part of their job. So again, it's really important to take that survey at the end, because this past time, I think we sent invites out, we do space planning based off of that, right? So we set up X number of tables and X number of chairs. We were so excited to see 70 plus people in the room, but we were only expecting, I think, 50, 55. So we were a little happy to do that, but we want to make sure that we all have a spot, a seat to be able to come in and sit. All right, and at some point, last but not least, we will probably do like a recording and post it on the hiring manager's page, so that a condensed version of that training, probably more of the key things that you need to do step by step. So if you've gone to the training that's required, and then maybe down the road you're like, oh shoot, I haven't hired in a while, I want to go online and just watch this for a quick refresher. Any questions? Nope. Okay. That's it. It's the next one. I think that was it. Yep. So that's the last slide I have. One last reminder that wasn't on this is to make sure that you and your staff are using your floating holiday. The way that you can tell if you've used your floating holiday is by looking at a pay stub, because that's going to show you've used it. And if it doesn't show up as hours where you've got it in the earnings for year to date, then you know you haven't used your floating holiday. We can't see that you have a floating holiday or not on the books. We can go into the back end and look at accruals, but that's not considered an accrual. So that's why our team can't tell you if you've used that floating holiday. We do. We will pull a report here shortly and start sending those reminders out, like you specifically need to use your floating holiday, but we just thought it was an opportune time to remind everyone here at the meeting. All right. Yes, Jeremy.
A question regarding the memberships. So just for clarification, because everybody here is a member of NRPA through the Premier membership, you're not looking for that. You're looking for those that we are actively participating in some way we hold a role in.
Yes. So Jeremy's question was about memberships and if what does actively hold a membership mean? So we are all part of NRPA, but like I don't do anything with NRPA, so I'm not going to put that down. I'm a member of SHRM, but I don't hold a board position. I'm not in our local chapter, so I didn't put that down. That's what he's asking, is just for clarification. So you're doing something that is showing you're participating on an ongoing basis, not just going in and reading articles or you get their blast emails. That's not what we're looking for. Yes, Sue.
Does attending a conference count as being
participate as being active? No. So again, that's more of a passive. It's a large group event. They want to know that you're doing something that's contributing towards some goal or some objective within that member or organization. Good question. Anyone else? Okay, thank you.
Good morning. It is that spooky time of year again, and since I am the official ambassador of Halloween in this department, I'm reminding you that the Halloween costume contest will be next month in October. The theme for this year is musical acts. That's as general as I can be. So it could be a fictional musical act like the Muppet Band or the Wiggles or any of that kind of stuff. You could take another route. It is still a group contest. If you all want to come dressed as Britney Spears in your group, that's fine, or Lady Gaga. So musical acts, and as usual, Craig will put out something for voting once we get photos in and the deadlines to send things in, but start thinking about your Halloween costumes as a group. Bluemont is the reigning champion of the Halloween costume contest, with Sterling as the runner-up. So they are the ones who currently hold the two titles for that. But just think about that musical acts, and I hope to see all your wonderful pictures because we really like all the participation we get in the Halloween costume contest. Abby?
We're going to do this on Friday, Halloween, October 31st.
You mean what part?
When do you have to be?
So Craig allows people to send their photos in the week leading up to October 31st, but that will be the official deadline. So if all your staff are in on Tuesday, they don't all work on Friday, they can take the photo on Tuesday as long as you submit it by the deadline on October 31st. Any other questions? No? Okay. Hope to see your spooky best in your musical act costumes. Thank you.
Thank you, Myla. And I am a little curious because when you made that announcement, Brad got real excited in the back row. So I'm curious to see what the team back there is going to do for this year.
Brad does a great Elvis.
What's that?
He does a great Elvis.
He does a great Elvis? Yeah. All right. That's a good musical act to do. Looking forward to that. And we can put pictures on Coco, Brad, just so you know. Okay, ADA. For those of you who don't know, and hopefully you are aware that that this has been going on, the county contracted with a company called Precision Infrastructure Management, and essentially over the past year they have been going around and doing evaluations of every single county facility, every county facility. And so they have completed all of that. We've got all of those reports. We got those earlier this year. And now we're moving into a time where implementation for correcting what was identified in those reports is getting ready to start. Now, I can tell you that from the standpoint of the Department of Justice, once we have a plan, and we're working towards that plan, we are going to be okay. Sometimes those plans are 5, 10, sometimes 20 year long plans because some of it has to do with complete infrastructure change. And that is what the contractor is helping the county to put together. That said, that it also is the belief of the county of where we can show progress right now, that is going to be a good thing to do. And so we met last week with Sahar and some other folks with the contractor to talk about PRCS and our role in that. And essentially, most of our facilities, as you know, that are buildings, are managed by General Services. So things like switching out toilets and changing the heights of sinks and things like that, that all is going to be handled by General Services. And they are putting together a budget. They've got all of our reports as well. They're putting together a budget to take back to the board, because it is, you know, likely a $10 to $15 million plus overall project that we're going to have to go to the board and get funding for, and then set up a plan for those corrections to be made. One of the things that I've had conversations with Mr. Brown about and Sahar about is when we get to that point, the work that is to be done in your facilities has to be coordinated through you all, okay? And so depending upon what has been identified in your facility, in the future, and none of those things are going to happen before July as far as facility changes, because there's no budget for it right now. They have to go and ask for that budget. But they will schedule that with you as far as those types of changes. What I told Ernie was that if there is significant changes that need to occur at one particular facility, if at all possible, we would much rather have all of those things done at once, as opposed to coming in this week and then 3 weeks later coming in and then 3 weeks later coming in. So you all will be a part of those conversations when we get to that point of having to do those changes to the facilities. That said, there are a lot of things that were identified that are what we call low-hanging fruit, okay? And what we are asking is that you all go ahead and take care of the low-hanging fruit, all right? Now, I'm not talking about changing, you know, the toilet paper dispenser, even though that's fairly easy to do. What I'm talking about really overall is how we store things and how we things set up in, I know, we get a little laughter here. We'll take a walk back here in a second. How we store things. Nearly every single facility that we have had a ding that was associated with how we store things, okay? And it was everything from boxes that are stored in walkways to storing folding chairs right adjacent to an ingress egress, to mats that actually block doors and things along those lines, to something such as a couch in a hallway that instead of being here, is here, but the water fountain is right there and you don't have the clearance. So the fix for that one, slide your couch. Okay, those are the types of things that you all can do and can do now. And that's what we're asking, is go through your report. Now, Wanda is going to be sending out the report to each individual site manager or program manager for that particular location. There also is going to be a tracking sheet that what we are asking for is when you identify something in there that you can take care of, and I want to be clear, don't change anything. Don't be ripping toilets out. That's not our role. But where you can move the stuff that you have stored, one of the big things that came out that almost every single person or every single facility had was a thing that they called foot and knee clearance. All right? So if you look over here at this sink, for example, this sink has an opening underneath there. Okay? Foot and knee clearance. In most of our facilities, this location has stuff stored in it. That's just what we do. Because we know storage is a premium. The other thing, like is going on right now, this would be dinged because there's something, there's bottles under there. So the fix, store the bottle somewhere else. That's not in a violation area, okay? Those are the types of things that we're asking to do. And we are asking that that stuff be done by the end of this year. So it's not something you got to do tomorrow and go back, but over time, review your reports, make those changes. And this is the most important thing. Talk with your staff about those changes so that the week after you make the changes, the stuff isn't stored back in the same location. Okay? That's the big thing here. That is going to be able to show when we start on these larger things and start talking with DOJ about this, that we are actually already moving with some of these things, albeit smaller ones, but we are moving towards rectifying the situation that we have. Parks, and talk to you all specifically for a little bit. You will not see as many things that you can make changes on because there's not a lot of facilities that you all are looking at. But for example, some of the things that were identified was in parks, if you have multiple amenities per se, like if you've got multiple pavilions and all those pavilions have a grill, okay? You have to have at least one that has an accessible access to that amenity, okay? So when you look at these reports, so you're going around to your sites, start identifying and start thinking about, okay, how are we going to recommend that we fix this? Because that is something that we'll have to ultimately get to, and that is going to be a budget implication. The other thing is, for example, interpretive signage. You know, if you've got interpretive signage in a park and none of that signage has an easy, accessible way to it, they are asking for those signs to either have an easy way to access it or to move those signs to a different location. So if you identify that, work with Mark and Aaron and that team so that if it is something that we need to have other types of legislative things going before we make any moves, that is what is going to be required on those. Wanda is going to be sending all of these reports out to you all tomorrow, okay? You will get your individualized report. You will get the spreadsheet that will help to track, and all we are asking is that you fill that spreadsheet out. There's a column that's been added that says this is what I did and this is when I did it, and then make sure that you're sharing what you have done with your staff, okay? Questions about that? There's a lot of reports. We got a lot of facilities, folks. We do. No questions? It's really a simple exercise that we're going to be doing right now, but also just remember, there's going to be a lot of stuff that's going to be coming up in the near future. That's going to be a little bit more intense. Things such as switching sidewalks, access areas, entryways perhaps, things like that. Okay? All right. Charles, you still up? You're up. All right.
Up again. This time.
Emma is going to be talking to us about emails.
Oh, I need to grab something. All right. So this time, I'm going to have a little bit more energy, a little bit more excitement, and we're going to play a game. I know, everyone's favorite. We're going to get into teams, and we're going to play a game. Yes, please. Thank you, Noah. We're going to test your knowledge. And I updated it. There you go. All right. Are you guys ready? Next slide, please. What we're going to do is we're going to get into six teams. Don't move from there. We're going to get into six teams, and each team is going to get a sheet. And on the sheet are going to be nine questions that have a number answer that goes with them, and then five questions that are true or false. And this has to do with emails. This has to do with BCC and reply all and email signatures, just because, you know, it's more fun to play a game and learn than for me to stand here and tell you how many times we have had issues. So I get to be the fun one and introduce a game. So if you guys could get into groups, we need six groups total.
Go ahead, get yourself into groups. I'm going to pass out the... It doesn't matter. Alright, are you guys group back here? Darby's not allowed to play. Alright. Oh, also, if you're online, I'm going to put the questions up online. Don't put the answers in the chat, but you can also participate because we want everyone to learn. Don't look. Which team are you guys on?
All of us.
All of you. Okay, great. You guys are a team here? Great. You guys are a team? Let's do it. And then this is a giant team. All right. All right, can you guys hear me? Clap once if you can hear me. Clap twice if you can hear me. Stick your tongue out if you can hear me. That's my favorite one. I think that's the best. All right, so what's going to happen is, I'm going to move forward on here. What's going to happen is there is a number bank. The number bank is also going to be on the next slide, just so that you don't have to pull random numbers out of the air. You're going to read all nine questions and then read the true or false. And as a team, you're going to decide what numbers go to which statements and then which is true or false. And then we'll learn if you are the winner. All right. Are you ready? 5 minutes. On your mark. Get set. Go. Again, online, you guys can read these questions and fill out the answers on your own.
Current PRCS position statement.
1 minute. You have 1 minute. All right, get your answers in.
Okay, page 17.
It is on. All right, get those answers in. Get those answers in. We're about ready to reveal if you know how many emails I get in a month. All right, time is up. Time is up. Congratulations. You completed. The mic is not on. Is the mic on? Yeah, Noah says yes. Can you guys hear me? That's what I thought. Okay. Darby says it's not. I can be really loud, but also I want to make sure everyone online can hear me. You guys can hear me just fine. It's the fact that I want people online to hear me. All right. I think this is okay. What do we think? Oh, that's better. There it is. I mean, I can be loud enough. Let's be real. I don't need a mic. But the people online need to get to hear it. So we are going to move forward and see if we can get the answers. All right, Noah, will you go to the next slide? We're going to go through all of the matching numbers. All right, next slide. 9 seconds is the average time it takes to read an email of 20 words or less. 9 seconds. So we'll do math with that a little bit later. All right, next up. Wait, don't move it yet. Paige, the email etiquette about carbon copy and blind carbon copy is on in the handbook is what? What do we think? Paige?
23.
Yes.
Oh, 20. Page 20. I went through and put the numbers for everyone. So close. You know, you guys all have access to that handbook. You have access to pull that handbook up. Yeah, you could have looked it up. Everyone should have access. I know. No, that's using resources wisely. All right. Next question. How many months since we updated the handbook with the email etiquette? Yes. What did you guys say?
13.
18. 20. So close. 8 months since we updated the handbook with the email etiquette. That was the January manager's meeting. Wow, you guys are on a roll. This is going great. All right. Yes, you are learning. All right. How many emails did I receive with the incorrect email signature since September 1st. What was the guesses? Go ahead. Shout it out.
17.
Less than 113 is the number of emails that I received. I realize you don't know. know that, but that's why I gave you a word bank. I mean, come on. All right, next up. How many blank to 48 hours is the appropriate response time for an email based on PRCS standards? If you get this wrong, I'm going to come do customer service 101 at your desk. How many?
24.
24. Woohoo! All right. There had to be a give me up there. All right. Number of times an unnecessary reply all was sent to main office staff in the last 90 days. What do we guess? What do we guess? 12. You did it. That's just in the last 90 days. 12 times. We've got to thank you. All right. Okay. Here's a good one. Are you guys ready for this one? Blank of 46 managers and leadership team members with old mission statements in their email signature. And this is managers from rec centers, community centers, senior centers, ADC, and parks managers and children's program staff. So just know this was across the board. How many of 46 managers have the old mission statement in their email signature?
23.
We have 23. We have 17. 23. Yeah. I don't know if we should really be celebrating that one. I'm proud of you for getting it right, but in case you're wondering, 23 of 46 managers and leadership team members. We'll talk about what the correct one is after this. All right. How many months since the email signature included the new PRCS mission statement?
17.
18. 20. 17, Noah. Woohoo! Noah got it. 17.
Why don't you tell us the 17?
Process elimination.
Oh.
I knew the last one, too.
All right. How many minutes consumed by a single reply all to 125 emails?
18
minutes. So that's based on the 9 seconds for a 20 word or less, because typically reply alls are less than 20 words. There are a couple words, but it takes time to see that you got it, to get to the email, to delete it, to see if you need to know it and then delete it, really. So 18 minutes times 100, which is, so 9 seconds times 125 staff, I did the math here. 9 seconds times 125 staff, that's roughly what we would send a big email out to. It's 1,125 divided by 60 is 18.75 minutes. Now, I could have gone a step further and put in the hourly rate of all of the staff here to see how much time that is, but we're not doing that. I don't have that math. I don't have those numbers. That's not what I am here to do, but I just want to remind you about what Reply All is and the value and the tool that we have to use Reply All, and then also to use Just Reply and to use BCC. So we're going to move into our true-false statements. You guys ready? True-false. We'll learn a little bit more about Reply All and BCC. You must use Reply All when your response directly impacts at least 50% of the people in the email thread. All right, raise your hand if you said true. Raise your hand if you said false. Congratulations, it is false. Next slide. Ready? You can use it if it directly impacts at least 50% of the people, but you don't have to. Do people really need to know what you're saying, or is it just one person that needs to see what you're saying? This is stuff that it's important that we think through and we help our staff learn when it comes to Reply All. The number is 50%. Does it impact at least 50% of people? Do they have to know? Is it important for them to know? These are the things we evaluate when we respond to messages. All right? Next question. You should use Reply All to congratulate someone on an announcement. True. Raise your hand. Congratulations. You guys got it. False. Now, here's the deal. We want to congratulate people. We don't want to be a space where we don't congratulate people, but we want to reply. We want to reply to that person. So a great way to set this up is if you're sending out an announcement, you put your email
and the person who you're sending the email out about, like for instance, will congratulate Jay on being an excellent bike racer. I'm going to put Jay in the two, and then I can put everyone else in the BCC so that when you reply, it just replies to Jay. Does that make sense? So you're just trying to reply to that one person because we want to congratulate Jay on being an excellent bike racer. It's really important. It's not false. But we want to be a place that celebrates each other, but we also want to set that up well so that we can congratulate each other, but also not send the congratulations out five times to everyone in the department. All right, next up, BCC allows up to 100 emails. True or false? False. How many emails do we think it allows up to?
500.
Yes. All right, you can go to the next one, Noah. 500 emails. So you can send out 500 emails in BCC. So that means if you have a big email, you can BCC people. And if you want everyone to know, maybe it's Miller Drive staff that you're sending the email out to, or maybe it's all the managers. You BCC everyone, and then for them to know who it goes to, you say, hey, PRCS managers, and then ding, 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 we know who it went to. You know what I mean? We're thinking about adding all this up together. Yes, Craig.
Technically, it's 499. Because you
got to
send it to someone.
You got
to. You don't have to send it to someone.
Yeah. Yep. Technically, it's 499. Craig has corrected me. You have to put someone in the two. I don't think you have to put someone in the two.
You don't have to.
Yeah. So, okay. Okay. All right. Two more. Ready? The current PRCS mission statement is creating community through people, parks, and programs. Is that true?
No.
Next slide. The correct mission statement is connect all communities through exceptional people, parks, and programs. Not connecting. Although some of you have that in your email signature, in case you didn't know, you should go back and look. It is connect all communities through exceptional people, parks, and programs. This is our mission statement. This is what we get to do. Why would we not put that in our email signatures and get to share with the world that we serve what we are trying to do? We are growing and we are an amazing agency and we want to be consistent across the board when it comes to email signatures. In case you didn't know, 23 of 46 managers and leadership team members have the old mission statement in their email. So your job is to go back and check and see if you have the old mission statement in your email signature. And if you do, update it. Because the next time you email me with a wrong one, I don't know what's going to happen, but it could be something. It could be serious. I have zero authority, but let me tell you, you never know when I'm going to come up here next. All right, the last thing is, there is a way to set up emails, though, so that recipients can't reply all. True or false?
True.
After some research, we found that there is a way that you can set up an email so that people are not able to use the reply all button. And we're going to send out the directions to set that up in your email so that you can do that on your own. We have a few staff who have already set that up in their emails, and it really has helped facilitate our time because our time is precious. Our time is the most precious. Abby.
Send out how to update your email signature?
I'd be happy to send out how to update your email signature. It's also on COCO as well, in case you didn't know. So I will send you to COCO, which will tell you how to update your email signature. But I appreciate your being willing to be silly and be fun and to learn together. We have a few more questions. Susan.
Actually, can you also send, if you have it, the instructions how to update your email address on your phone?
Update your email signature on your phone?
Yes.
Yes. Yep. I can find those. So yes, updating your email signatures on your phone is important as well. And setting it up so that you have an email signature for outgoing as well as replies. It's important for replies that we know who you are as well. So
did you test that query we talked about when they prompt you for a reply?
Oh, yes. Okay, this is another fun one. Are you guys ready? So when you get a really great email and it's like, congratulations, we're promoting someone. And then they have a couple of those things at the top that are like, you can say congrats, awesome job, If you've received that in a mass email and you click one of those prompted choices, you know what I mean, that says congrats, it automatically replies all. So just know that that automatically replies all. So put your own words in and reply just to that person. Or you can even start a new email chain and respond to them and congratulate them. But Sue does bring up a good point. When you press those like suggested responses, that automatically replies all. So fun facts, lots of learning, lots of fun. We're a group, we're growing, we're learning, and everyone's gonna go back after this and check their email signatures, right? Yes? Okay, great. Yes.
Who won?
Everyone's a winner.
How many did you
eight.
Get? You have eight, right?
Yes.
How many? Who got eight. More than eight right? Okay. Woo, this is fun. All right, Steve, you're up.
What do we get?
Yeah, you get a values pin. Just so you know, I told Steve how many leadership team members didn't have their email signature with the updated mission statement, and he looked at me and said, is mine updated? And I said, yes, I had Wanda updated.
Thank you, Wanda.
Thank you, Emma. Now, it is important that we take time to do things like this correctly because it does have impacts. And I'll share one other thing that happens to me often, and this happens when you're dealing with reply all. We are a forward-facing department, which means that what we do is always in the public, and it is always at the interest of the Board of Supervisors. It also is in the interest of the Board of Supervisors, aides, and chiefs of staff, many of who you probably don't know, okay? So if you hit a reply all and it happens to have been from one of them or has them in all of that, you have just violated the county's communications policy. Now, you all don't really need to worry about all that much because usually if there's a violation of the county's communications policy, they come and say, hey, Steve, let me talk with you. It's me they come to talk to. And that's not a big deal. It's really not. But we need to be following that policy. And also, the challenge is that if you provide information in an email response and it goes to one board member, then I have to go back and I have to update the entire board collectively. So make sure you know who you're responding to is where I'm getting at with that. Okay. We are at 60 Second Showcase. So I am going to kick off with Craig.
No, can you pull that up? I sent you a link. I just wanted to highlight some updates we've done to the website for the volunteer program. Andy and her team have worked really hard with Ben to create a forward-facing, yeah, I sent it directly to you, Noah, I'm sorry, to create a forward-facing web page for the public so they can more easily find the volunteer opportunities throughout PRCS. It also involved working with service.
It's your teams.
I sent it to your teams. Sorry. But anyhow, they worked really hard to create this page, and obviously, you know, one of the things we're trying to do, obviously, is make the public have more accessibility to our volunteer opportunities. As I think Chair Randall often notes, you know, we are the largest volunteer program in the county. So, basically $2 million worth of resources that are provided there. So just take a quick look at the page and then just set it up. So it's still a little bit of work in progress. I think we're going back with the service because for the mobile friendly version, but I thank their hard work on that. Who's next?
We're going to Dave Z. For maintenance.
Yeah.
No, I don't get it because of people like
that. Just a few things for maintenance as we're finalizing our snow plan details. All the facility managers, if you could please make sure to include Marcus, myself, and Brad in your weekly schedules as we get into snow. That'll really help with everything we try to provide with you in a timely manner, and especially your weekend and evening events. We're also going to plan to have our crew chiefs meet with you on site to improve our communication with an in-person reference instead of just an email. We've also recently added some more horticulture positions, and Andy and his staff will be looking to improve all of your surrounds, shrubs, bushes, etc.
Thank you, Dave. Kevin, you're up for sports.
All right, with sports and events, a few things to highlight. Back on Labor Day, we had Kids Fest with an estimated of over 9,000 in participants there for that event. The events team is now working on Winterfest that will be held December 6th over at the Hanson Park in the Lodge area. In August, we were collaborating with Parks and Maintenance and hosted three large soccer tournaments that had over 350 teams traveling into the area to service those. So it's a lot of tourism dollars coming in. So appreciate everybody's work on maintenance staff, park staff, and sports staff on getting those off seamlessly. We have the Halloween Classic Softball Tournament, which is a partnership that we do with Lower Loudoun Girls Softball League. What it is that's a fundraiser for them to help provide scholarships to the underserved. So we currently have 78 teams signed up for that. So looking forward to it. It's a way to give back to the community and help out through that league's participation there. On the youth sports side, we're in full swing with our fall sports, servicing probably 20,000 plus youth participants for the fall season for that. The teams working on their winter allocations will be primarily basketball, which is a huge load to carry there with that. And then on the adult sports side, just kind of a lesson learned thing on programming. We kind of felt the adult tennis market was probably tapped out with Ida Lee, Ashburn Village, Cascades with what they're servicing. But we decided to give it a try this fall and start offering learn to play tennis adult programs. Our first programs had 45 participants register for it. So we were like, that was a market that was definitely untapped for us. So we're hoping to expand that throughout other areas of the county for that. That's it.
Can we get Chesia online?
All right. Chesia, we're sending that over to you online.
Good morning, everyone. I would like to do a quick shout out to the Bluemont Community Center. Thank you to Sherry Conrad and Brandon Wood for their successful fair this past weekend, the Bluemont Fair. We don't have any official numbers yet, but we had thousands come out and it was a wonderful turnout. I encourage everyone to really come out to our special events because they are so much fun for the family and it's a good way to connect to what we do every day with the public. And we have Legacy Day coming up at Douglas Community Center and Pueblo Unido Day coming up at Sterling Community Center on October the 11th. So we hope to see you there. And on the other side of our community center programs, we have early childhood education, and we're working with Marcom to promote our preschool and child care programs because we do have some open enrollment opportunities for the patrons of Loudoun County. So if you know anyone who has early childhood age children who are looking for wonderful programs, please send them our way. You will see some new marketing materials throughout the county. We have some brand new banners that have been created by Marcom, and we're going to be posting them at all of our community centers, as well as our four parks that have really good playgrounds. So we have a few things that we're going to do, and we're just, you know, looking forward to people really getting a chance to see what we're doing in our preschool and child care and being able to promote them a little bit more efficiently. Thank you.
Brian is going to take parks.
Yes. Thank you. Just a couple highlights. The Fall Festival was held last weekend at Claude Moore Park with 2,000 attendees. We're celebrating National Public Lands Day, which is this Saturday, in the parks with volunteer opportunities at Hanson, Lovettsville, and Meadow Glen Park. Next, Run Your PSCS Parks 5K is the Fall Harvest at Claude Moore Park on the 4th of October. The Franklin Trout Derby on October 11th from 8 to 10, the EAC will also be there. We are stocking the pond. Please show up. There's some great time out there and there's some great fish. We got some big ones this year. And the Bio Blitz at Lovettsville this Saturday from 10 to 11. And if anybody is interested in putting a Virginia 250 Liberty banner at their site, contact Ann Sedlak, and she can give you information on that. So that's what we have.
Deborah Williams?
Nope.
Good morning. Please come out and support our advisory boards. We're having our craft fairs, Cascades, Leesburg, and Ashburn. We'll have a craft fair in October, November. And the craft fairs are the seniors who knit and crochet baby clothes and all that. Not only baby clothes, anything that you can knit or crochet is happening at the senior centers. And so if you will pop in and to one of the craft fairs, or just pop into the center, because they will have stuff on display. That does help support the senior centers. Thanks. Janet?
Give it to Janet. Good morning, everyone. I don't have anything from our operations division. However, I did want to put a shout out to all the managers that completed the budget reallocation worksheets. Much appreciated. That enabled me to then put that into the system. As Steve was saying, budget is very important, and this type of exercise is part of that. So thank you.
Hello? Okay, good. So just a couple things. One real quick is we just went to the Planning Commission Tuesday night with the Franklin Park West application for rezoning, and it was forwarded to the Board of Supervisors for the November 12th public hearing. So that's moving forward. And just quickly, I want to acknowledge Aaron, who has completed and presented to the Park Board our revised standards for facilities planning development, which should be going hard and out to everyone first of the year. So I want to acknowledge that.
Thank you. All right. Well, I want to tell a little story. So can you guys hear me okay? Yes. Emma and I went to the Pennsylvania Recreation and Park Society in March to do a presentation on customer service. And as part of being a presenter, they offered us lunch. So who did I sit next to at lunch? Ken. So I told Ken, hey, Loudoun's got so much going on. We're a great place to be. And I gave him my business card. I didn't hear from him again. But then Emma, she's like, that guy that we talked to, he's here. He's working for us. So I just wanted to take that time. And, you know, we create marketing materials, business cards, now hiring, all these things to create connections with people. And we're lucky now to have that work show up here in Kent. So thank you all.
Don't get any ideas about taking him. We just got him. So things are really busy in children's programs. One of the things that we're very excited about is Saturday night, there will be a very fancy gala to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Adaptive Recreation as part of PRCS. What's really cool about it was just an idea. You know how you're standing around, that's how some of your best ideas come. And the team took it forward, and they've been working on it for over a year, so we will be celebrating Saturday night. Also coming up will be a sensory-friendly trunk or treat that Adaptive Rec is doing in addition to their Fall Fest. One of the things that's most exciting right now in CASA and YAS is seeing things really come together. Since COVID and we got back to our enrollment, we've worked so hard on a lot of technology to make things easier. We've done training. We've got a lot of feedback about what we need to train on. And we're starting to see with the start of this school year that really crystallize and pay off for us. And we have fewer incident accident reports. We have better communication just across the board. So I think the team has done a great job in coming together. And finally, we are moving Youth and Government Day so that will be in October this year. So we are getting ready. We're going to take the kids to Douglas. We're going to have a panel discussion on career opportunities in local government. They'll tour Douglas, they'll get to meet the chair, and then we'll go over to the government center and we will attend a board meeting. So lots going on.
Thank you, Kristen. Tricia?
Thank you. So we are wrapping up the week of Adult Day Center Appreciation Week. So we'd like to thank Teresa Reinhart, Megan Carrieri, and Jamie Connor for providing, and all of their staff for providing great and exceptional programs to the Adult Day Centers. We also are just beginning the Central Kitchen renovation, which we're very excited about. It'll be a great new facility for the Kitchen 9 staff to work in. And we're happy to report that's well underway with no strange findings of animals or dead bodies in the walls. So we're excited about that. And we also have kicked off our new Adult Day Center that's being built. That just started. We did the kickoff for that last week, I think, Mark. Is that right? And I'd like to thank Mark for coaching me along the way. I'm keeping him on his toes with not knowing what I'm doing. So it's a learning experience, and we're excited for that new facility.
Where
is that? In Tennessee, I believe. No, it's Dulles, Dulles South area down there, far away.
Next to the Home Depot. We're right across, almost across the street from Dulles South.
Jay? Okay. As a division, we've survived the opening few weeks of preschool. No more crying kids, right, Stacy? Right? That's always the big challenge, the first 2 or 3 weeks of preschool. We have also, to date, surpassed 1 million visits in our facilities, and looking forward to continuing that trend. That includes Ashburn, with 100,000 visits in their first 8 weeks, and one snake in preschool this morning. It was a baby snake, so it was age appropriate. You know, what are you gonna do? Dulles South hosted Senior Olympics last Friday, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Claude Moore is losing a longtime employee, Christine Cecil, who will leave us in late. She's relinquishing her full-time role. She will stay on as a part-time role. In late October. So children's programs, Ken, pay attention. Get your applications ready. Building services coordinator, that position will be open soon. And finally, the Round Hill Aquatic Center is on Monday is starting a long needed project. I don't know if anybody's been aware, but the concrete, the base for the concrete at the entrance was not constructed properly, and it collects a lot of water. And so when we have a wet fall and then a very freeze thaw sort of winter, the concrete can heave and block the doors, so you can only come in one door and not all four doors. So the General Services has finally listened to us after all this time, and they will be removing that concrete, repairing the base layer, and putting it back together. So that'll do it.
There you go.
Thank you for HR. Well, first I want to again highlight and acknowledge the staff that have put together the training for NeoGov. So that was a big lift to get all of that put together quickly, as I would mention. And then going forward, it'll be consistently presented every month. So another shout out. Thank you very much to all the managers, either here or online, that helped us with tracking down outstanding training in Noveront, which is our current e-learning platform, because we transitioned to Learn in NeoGov. We needed everyone who had required training, the county requires, like slips, trips, and falls, to get that knocked out. So I appreciate that. And as well, I wanted to acknowledge the managers who helped us track down any of the outstanding PTI tasks that I've been bugging everybody about for the last few weeks, to make sure that we've got everybody taken care of who've been transitioned into that PTI group. And last but not least, I forgot to mention earlier, but also good timing, thank you to Jessica Nall and her team, whoever contributed towards putting together the JOT form for our structured interview packet. So they had a big need. They took the opportunity to create something that didn't exist. We have the paper copy that was on SharePoint for hiring managers. You had to download it, save it to your computer, type it, email it in, all that stuff. So thank you very much for finding an opportunity for innovation and implementing a JOT form, which is now saved onto our hiring manager SharePoint page, so you don't have to download, print off, email, scan. It's a lot smoother and more efficient. So shout out to you and your team, whoever helped contribute to creating that. Thank you.
Okay, Steve, I have one last shout out for the
So I just want to thank everyone who assisted us with the workers' comp group tours. So they went to several of our facilities. Our vendor for workers' comp through HR, Corvell, brought a whole busload full of staff, and Mike Burke was the perfect tour guide and bus driver for us. So we really appreciate his help with that. But we visited one of almost every type of facility type that we could get to, because for them, they need to understand how your staff work, the environments that they work in, so they can understand when they get injured at work, how it happens. So they have a better understanding of that. So I really appreciate every single site that we went to gave us phenomenal tours of their site, very passionate staff about what they do, what their staff do, and did a very good job with a workers' comp vendor at explaining some of the pitfalls and dangers that our staff unfortunately have at their sites, but also that that's what's necessary to serve our public in the exceptional ways that we do that. So for all of you that did that, give yourself a round of applause, because that was awesome.
All right. Yep. There's an online comment.
So Brenda Davis posted in conjunction with AAA. Cascades Art and Crafts Fair is Saturday, October 25th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
All right. Thank you all. We like to do this so that when we are together, you get an understanding of the breadth of what we do and the impacts that we have across the county. We are doing outstanding things, folks, and it's something that that you should be proud of. I took the new, I'll end with this, I took the new HR, the county HR director, on a tour this week because she wanted to have a meet and greet with all of the department heads. And as I usually do, I don't like to sit in offices. I'll go out in the field and do that. So we went around to a bunch of different facilities. Two things I'll highlight. One, as we were coming back up to Leesburg, she asked, did you let everybody know that we were coming? To the answer to that was no. And I asked her why, and she was like, well, it's very impressive to see how every site that we went to was operating so professionally. And that was pretty cool to hear. The other question that she asked, which I thought was kind of funny, but it's very true. She said, is there anything that the county is involved with that your department is not involved with? To which I said, not much, because we are. We touch every piece of the community here in Loudoun, and we do a very good job of it. And again, that's because of what you all do. And I thank you for that. I hope you have a good weekend. Point of information, I am leaving tomorrow and going to be gone all next week. So if you have anything that you would normally want to complain to me about or need help with, go to Jeremy, because I am at the request of the leadership team. I'm cutting my phone off next week. So you all have a good one, and thank you very much again for what you do.
Pretty much every week, get an email that says your pool is working 29.5 hours this week. Stephanie works 10 hours this week.
All right.
You are wondering if.
I have none.
It may not be on newsstands yet, but it failed us.
Right, that's it. It's a generated email.
I saw the channel.
That's what I mean. Right. And we're tracking that on the annual side. My one employee was just like worried, it's like, am I not supposed to be working anybody for this? I said, no, not regularly, but it's still the average it out. So
it's not like the rolling ball. Where's the ball?
That's why I'm doing it.